So we come to our final message this morning, and it's been quite an amazing week. We've seen so much so far, and we've looked at the days of creation, and we saw that on day one, God created time, space, matter, by simply saying those words, "Let there be light." And then on the second day, we saw how he created the waters, the firmament. He created the waters and the atmosphere. He made everything possible to contain life. And then on the third day, he created the land. He made the land to form out of the waters. You know, scientists often talk about that one piece, that one continent before the continents broke up. And I believe there was one continent in the beginning. And that's what made it so easy for all the animals to come to Noah's Ark, because they didn't have to cross any water. But then when the flood happened, that's how the world was formed in what we live in today. And then on day three, God made the trees and the plants. And on day four, the sun and the stars and the moon. And then on day five, the fowls and the fish. And then on day six, the land animals and man. And we've seen that God created everything with a purpose. How that man is perfect. Think about it. How is it that if we did evolve, why are there still monkeys in the world? You know, if we evolved from monkeys, why aren't there still monkeys? Why, you know, where's that missing link? If we evolved from monkeys, then there shouldn't be any monkeys left. If we evolved from some kind of fish in the sea, well, where is that fish? Where is that missing link? And they can't find it. There's no evidence for a missing link. When you look at the space and the stars in the sky, everything works in order. And here's the thing, I like maths. I really love maths. And who can tell me what the law of angular momentum is? Anybody know what the law of angular momentum is? Well, it basically says this. If something is spinning in a certain direction and is acted upon by an external force, guess what will happen? It'll continue spinning in the same direction. If anything flies off that object, it'll continue spinning in the same direction. If I was to get a volunteer up here now, who's ever done that way? I'm not going to do it, Alan, because it's going to end up hurting somebody. Have you ever had that done where somebody holds onto your arms and they spin you around? Well, do you know what would happen if they let you go? You would continue spinning in the direction that they were spinning you. That's the law of angle and momentum. Well, here's the thing. If everything was created from nothing and there was a big bang, everything should be going in the same direction. Why is it then the two of our planets turn in the opposite direction? Interesting. I think God did that on purpose to say, guess what? He didn't come from a big bang. There's lots of things in the universe that scientists can't explain, and I think God put those things there on purpose to prove his creation. We've seen so many details about the human body and about the different birds and about the different animals that have to come from a perfect design. And I want you to imagine this. When you look at the complexities of the human body, you look at the complexities of just the human eye, when you look at the marvels of creation, you look at the different animals, and you look at the different plants, and you look at the fact that all life is contained within one tiny seed, and that from one tiny little acorn, a massive oak tree can grow. All of that information for the oak tree to grow, God has placed in that tiny little acorn. What does that say? It tells us that God is quite amazing. It tells us that God is special. But in Genesis chapter 1, we saw last night how God created man. And God created man for a purpose. And when God created man so that man could have something called fellowship with God. God wanted to put his crowning achievement in creation. And that's you. You see, you didn't come from a monkey. You were made in the image of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you look like God. But what it means is that you have those attributes. God is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have a spirit, soul, and body. We were created in the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image. That's the crowning achievement, if you like, of God's creation. So why on earth would God place man upon the earth? You see, if we came from monkeys, then there is no purpose in life. What is the purpose? Because eventually we're going to evolve into something else. Can you imagine if we continued to evolve? Can you imagine how big the human race's thumbs would be in years to come? The human race's thumbs would be gigantic if we continued to evolve, because that's all we do today. Either texting or gaming. Our thumbs would be massive. But we didn't evolve. God created us. If we evolve from monkeys, then our life has no purpose. But if God created us, then our life does have purpose. And he has a purpose for us. It says, after he created man on the sixth day in Genesis chapter 2, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. On day seven, God rested. What does that mean? Does that mean that God was tired? How many of you are tired after just 5 days on camp? How many of you are thinking, oh, I can't wait to get to my bed tonight. Can't wait to have a lay-in tomorrow. You're tired. Does that mean that on the seventh day God was exhausted after the 6 days of creation? Does it mean that he just needed a rest? He just needed to put his feet up? He just needed to take a break? No. It doesn't mean that God was tired after creating the earth. Psalm 121 tells us that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is not just a mere human being like us where, you know, we feel tired. He wasn't tired after creating the world in 6 days. He didn't need a rest. He didn't need to recover. He didn't need to recuperate. The Hebrew word translated as rest can also mean cease. It means that his work of creation was finished. Who can tell me if God finished the work of creation? On day six, the work was finished. On day seven, God didn't need to do anything else. Where else do you read of that word, it is finished? Aaron?
In Revelation, the last.
Almost. So,
when
Jesus died on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And here's the thing you have to understand. Just as God's creative work at that point was perfect, nothing else needed to be added to it because creation was perfect. So the work upon the cross of Calvary is perfect. Nothing needs to be added to it. So why did God take 6 days? Why did God take 6 days? Because do you know what? On day one, God could have said everything. And we would have had the stars, the sun, the moon, the sky, the planets, the land, the sea, the air, the animals. He could have done it with one word and everything just would have been there like that. So why take 6 days? Was he making it up as he went along? Was he doing one bit? How many of you have ever seen somebody building something using a flat pack? How many of you maybe know of maybe your parents or aunties or uncles or friends or whatever who've gone to IKEA and have come back with a flat pack wardrobe? Anybody ever seen the stress of putting a flat pack wardrobe together? It's really stressful. We don't always follow the instructions and sometimes there's bits left over. And you wonder where those bits went, and then you suddenly find out where those bits go when you go to open the door and the door comes off in your hand. But God wasn't making it up as he went along. You know, when we put those flat packs together, we don't really know what we're doing, and we don't really see the end result until it's finally up. Because sometimes you're putting it together on its back and on its side, and you think, this is never going to look like a wardrobe. And then you finally lift it up and you think, oh, right, okay. And if you follow the instructions right, it does look like a wardrobe. And if you haven't followed the instructions right, it looks nothing like a wardrobe. But God knew exactly what creation was going to look like before he even began his creative work. He didn't need 6 days, but he chose to use 6 days. Everything that God does is done to teach us something, to give us a pattern, to give us direction, to give us the help that we need. In Exodus, when Moses was given the commandments, it says that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that was in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The reason God took 6 days to make creation was because he was giving us the pattern of the week. Why is it that we've got 7 days in the week? Who came up with 7 days? You know, why aren't it 8 days? Why aren't it 10 days? And you know, in years past, there have been actual experiments to change the days of the week. Some countries have tried 10-day weeks. Can you imagine going to school for 8 days instead of 5? Would you like that?
No.
No? Well, you've got the Lord to thank that you only go to school for 5 days. Would you like a 10-day week? Can you imagine how long it would take to get to Christmas every year? It'd take forever. Sophie wouldn't know what to do with herself. She's struggling now when we're halfway through the year, and she's struggling wearing her Christmas t-shirts this week. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh to give us a pattern. He gave us the days of the week. He gave us a pattern of rest. We need to rest. I can guarantee what most of you will do when you go home today, or even on your way home today, is you'll sleep. Why? Because your body needs rest. And that's why God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, to give us the pattern for the week, to give us a pattern that we need rest. So when did all of this take place? Is the world billions and billions of years old? This is what I like. If you go to any museum, this is what they'll say, and I fear this. We went to a planetarium in Chicago, and they said this: about 4.5 or 4.6 billion years ago, about there or thereabouts, about 4.6 billion years ago, that's when the Big Bang happened. And then they will, after saying about 4.6 billion years ago, they'll say this: exactly 1 second after the Big Bang, this happened. How can you go from the about 4.6 billion years to exactly 1 second? Because that's a big difference in time. 1 second and 4.6 billion years. If the world really was that old, did you know that the moon moves slightly? So in order for the world to be 4.6 billion years old, the speed that the moon is moving away from the Earth, it would have had to have been really, really close to the Earth 4.6 billion years ago. And life would have been impossible on the planet. Why? Because the moon controls our tide. The seasons are controlled by the way in which the Earth orbits the sun. Did you know that the Sahara Desert continues to grow at a certain rate all the time? And if the world was that old, then theoretically that whole region should be completely covered with sand. But here's the thing. The world's not that old. Ah, but they say carbon dating. Did you know carbon dating is accurate up to around about 6,000 years? And after that, then, it's very, very sketchy. Carbon dating tests the amount of... You all know what carbon is. You've all done the periodic table in school, and you know that everything has a slight amount of carbon in. And what they say is that because of half-life, because of the way in which carbon has a half-life, that they can kind of see how much carbon is in something now to how much carbon would have been in it then, and they can come up with a date. But it's accurate to around about 6,000 years. And what happens is, an archaeologist will come in and say, I've got this fossil, can you tell me how old it is? And the carbon dater will say, well, how old do you think it is? Oh, I think it's about 5 million years. I'll check that. He goes to his little carbon dating thing, he does a little test, and he says, oh, it's certainly older than 6,000 years. It's about 5 million years. And that's it. That's basically what happens in carbon dating. But we happily believe that about 4.6 billion years. But if we believe the Bible, and there are many passages in the Bible that give us dates, they tell us how old people were. If you believe somebody lived to 1,000 years, that's ridiculous. Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible. He was 969. And you might think that's absolutely ridiculous. There's no way anybody could live till that age. Do you remember what we talked about on day two? Remember the firmaments? Remember that? It created the water. There was a water below and a water above. Do you know, there's all this fuss about the ozone layer, and there's a hole in the ozone layer, and there's too much UV getting through to us. Well, at one point, there was a water canopy all around the world. And underneath that water canopy, there was perfect oxygen. Remember Pastor Kevin said that dinosaurs are just reptiles that never stop growing? Can you imagine how big they would grow if there was perfect oxygen in the world? Can you imagine how old that we could live if there was perfect oxygen? Rugby players, when they've got an injury, will sometimes go into an oxygen chamber and just have pure oxygen, because what it does, it helps the healing of the body. So if there's perfect oxygen in the world, then that's possible for man to live even to almost 1,000 years old. You see, sometimes we look at the Bible and think, oh yeah, well that can't happen. That can't happen. He couldn't have lived to 900. But after the flood, do you notice something? The ages start to get younger and younger and younger. Adam was 930. Methuselah was 969. But then you see 700, 600, 500. And in the end, you get down to the hundreds. Moses was 120 when he died. And you haven't gone that far away from the flood by the time of Moses before the age levels out. What I'm trying to say is this. The world is not as old as we are told that it is. But we are told that all the time. 5 million years ago, 6 million years ago. And we believe it. The world is about 6,000 years old. And do you know what? In Israel, they use a different calendar to us. We use a Gregorian calendar. The two popes came up with two different calendars, and we use a Gregorian calendar. And that's the dates that we've got now. So we kind of estimate around about, you know, Jesus was born 3 BC. That's 3 years before Christ. How can Jesus be born 3 years before he was born? Because of the way they worked out the calendar. So we kind of in 2017. But in Israel, they use a different calendar. And I believe that their calendar at the moment is in the 6,000s. Why? Because they go back to the beginning. The world is quite young. it's not really, really old. We've got a young earth. And God created everything perfectly. We didn't evolve. If we did evolve, where's the missing link? Where's the missing link? God either produced cats or he produced fish. We don't see catfish like that. Don't see tiger sharks looking like that. He's either a tiger or a shark. He's a bullfrog. But God created bulls and he created frogs.
Donkey fly.
Horse fly. It's a horse fly. But God either created horses and he created flies. My point is this, where is the missing link? There are no fossil records. Remember, they talked about fossils and how all the layers, and you've got all different fossils. Where's the missing link? We've got millions of fossils in the world today, and what that is, that's just animals that have died and have been compacted with different materials, and they've left an imprint, if you were, and have been fossilized. So where are fossils of even people going from to just even that position? Where's that fossil? Or that fossil? Or that fossil? We've got plenty of those fossils, bones. But we haven't got... Where's the missing link? They say, oh yeah, well, what happened was is that they created water first, and then we had fish, and then we had they came out onto the land, and then, but where's the middle bit? Where is that missing link? It's not there. Why? Because God created everything perfectly. So why did he create this? Why did God create this world? He created this world so that he could have fellowship with us. He created this world so he could spend time with us. But guess what? We don't want to spend time with him. And that's why evolution is taught. Because if evolution is taught, then we can deny that there's a God. Because if evolution is true, there is no God. Everything happened by chance. But if creation is true, then God has a purpose for everything that we do. God has a purpose for your lives. Everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden, but sin ruined that. And because sin ruined that, man was separated from God. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why God sent Christ down to the cross to save us, to forgive us of our sins. If you were here this week and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe this would be the week that you would do it. Maybe this would be the day that you do it. You were not here by accident. You were not here as a product of some monkey. My relatives are not monkeys. Well, some of them. I didn't come from a monkey. God created me in his image. And as a result, he wants to spend eternity with me. And the only way that can happen is through Jesus Christ. Who can tell me what John 14:6 says? John 14:6, Brandon, do you know?
And Jesus said that you're not made to come alive, but no man comes unto the Father but by me.
Excellent. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is by trusting what Jesus did upon the cross. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you would go to heaven if anything ever happened to you? If you don't, then you can. Ask Jesus to save you. I'm thankful for those who've done that this week and have asked the Lord into their hearts. Can I say this? If you've never done that, make sure you speak to one of your leaders. Make sure you speak to your pastor. Make sure you speak to a grown-up. And make sure that that's a decision you make before it's too late. You're not here by accident. God created you, and he's created you with a purpose. And that purpose is to bring glory to him. But we can't bring glory to him if we've rejected him. We can't bring glory to him if we don't know him. And the only way you can know him is by calling upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this time together. We thank you for this week, Lord, and for all that you've allowed us to do. And Father, I just pray that you would help us this week. I pray that you would bless us as we go our separate ways. You'd keep all of those who are traveling safe, Lord. I pray that you would just help us to think about what we've learned this week, to think about the things of creation and the fact that you have made things perfectly and all in order, and that you've made us with a purpose, and that your purpose is to spend eternity with us in heaven. But we can't do that unless we know you as our Saviour. So Father, I pray for those who have yet to ask you into their hearts and lives that they would do that before it's too late. Father, I pray that you would give all those travelling today safety as they go home, and that you would bless us as we go back to our churches on Sunday, Lord, and that you would help us through the summer holidays, Lord, and even prepare us for the time that we go back to school. And Father, we'll give you the glory for it. We ask all of these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.